So we've been looking at, what have we been looking at? People were here last week. Okay, cool. What have we been looking at? The way of the cross. Is that what we're looking at? Okay. What did we learn last week? Who can tell us? What he or she learned last week? I need like three people. Tell us what they learned last week. All right, let's get a second mic. I don't know, who wants to talk? What did you learn last week?
Well, I remember when you said that when we are preaching or we were like talking about the gospel, I should look at anybody's face.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, I said that. That's fantastic. One more person. Nobody wants to look at me again now. Wait, look at me now. One more person. Elizabeth, what did you learn last week? God judges is different from how God judges. That's cool. All right, can we clap for all of them? All right, cool. So we'll continue from where we stopped last week. I'll do a quick recap. Let me give you some advice, right? Because seeing that some of you are afflicted with one funny sickness called, I don't know, what should I call the sickness? Fake attention syndrome. You know, there's a way to be doing as if you're following in church, but you're not following. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You know? It's a syndrome. And the way to cure it is that you just need to be a serious Christian. Now, what I mean by that is that you need to pray after you hear the word. Do you understand what I mean? All right. So whenever, I'm saying very simple, but please don't think I'm talking something nonsense. You know, whenever you hear the word of God, you have to learn how to pray it out. You know, that's how you really fellowship with the word. When you hear, and I think I was talking about that last week. When you hear, amen. So when you hear preachings, right, you fellowship with it by praying. Hi, Esther, it's nice to see you. You fellowship with it by praying and fellowshipping with God. It has to be an issue in your heart. Amen. You know, when you hear the word, it has to be an issue in your heart, and it has to be something that you really want to enter. And so when you simply go to God and you say, Father, you know, this thing that I've heard, I want to step into it. That's when the fellowship goes to the next level. Most people don't do that. Most people just hear as good preaching, you know. It's difficult to make human beings learn this thing. We're very stubborn, you know. So the quicker you learn it, the better it will be for you. You understand? All right. Amen. 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 All right, let's say a short word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. I ask, O Lord, that as we look into your word, that you shall speak to us in the name of Jesus. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Open our hearts. Let us receive from you, Lord, like never before, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we were talking about the concept of purpose. What I want to talk about is, what I call the way of the cross. And it's talking about the cross, but first there's some kind of like background that I need to set, or there's a foundation that I need to lay. Because you see, when you want to hear, the concept of the cross is very simple, but it's very hard. It's a very bitter pill to swallow. Are we together? But it's very simple. But it's just a very bitter pill to swallow, especially when it's been introduced for the first time. So it's usually a very hard message. And lots of times what makes it hard is not that it's really hard, is that you are carnal, you know. And so I'm trying to lay a kind of foundation so that when I just say the simple things about it, you will understand what I'm saying. Because if I start talking about it raw like that, you'll go home sad. Yet you think that that God has condemned you to a life of poverty, you know. And truly, you will. It's a very strange thing. And when we look at some scriptures, you see that Jesus says some strange things to human beings, you know. So we've been talking about how God doesn't judge the way man judges. Can we say that together? God doesn't judge the way man judges. Can we say it again? Yeah, God doesn't judge the way man judges. God's perspective is totally different from man. The way God thinks is totally different. Please, always understand this thing. It is by grace and mercy that we have a relationship with God. Are we together? When we say we come to him by grace and mercy, we are not joking. You know, when the Bible says, come before the throne, obtain mercy, find grace. You know, it's not a joke. You know, the throne of God, the area of it is called the mercy seat. You know, for you to approach God, God needs to have mercy on you. Because there are many reasons, but the primary reason is that God is holy. Huh? And God's holiness means that you naturally are not meant to be able to come near to him. Are we together? But even aside holiness, there's also the idea of how he thinks. God doesn't like men. Huh? God loves men. Are we together? You know, it's the love of God that made him send Jesus Christ. But you see, the reason why that love is powerful is that he loved us despite the fact that he has no reason to love us. You get? It's not like we deserved his love. Huh? So when we're relating with God, we need to understand that we're relating with God from the perspective of mercy and grace. We need mercy. God needs to be like, okay, just come, Sha, just come, you know. God also needs to give us power. God needs to give us ability to be able to walk with him. So it's a God concept. And the reason is that we are offensive to God. Your natural thinking gives God pain. Do you understand my point? For some of you now, you're thinking that, oh, I'm poor. I don't have anything to do. I don't have this. It's offending God. You get? You know? Because perhaps from God's perspective, it's like, look, I've given you the Holy Spirit. Why are you looking down on yourself? You know? So, or people say God does not love me, you know. You know, just your natural existence, God is enduring. You know. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is long suffering. You get. So God himself is long suffering. You know, God himself is long suffering. Yeah, God is taking a lot of. So when you say I don't take nonsense, you know, you don't know what you're saying. God is taking a lot of nonsense. Amen.
Amen.
Are we not happy?
Yes, sir.
You know, we're happy. So, in fact, it's the kind of nonsense that it takes. It's so scary, you know. But anyway, let me not go there. So, our natural inclination is to be offensive to God. The way God thinks is separate from how men think. And the way God judges situations is different from how we judge situations. You understand? All right? So, as you come to God, you just have to understand that, look, see, my thinking has to change. Again, you can't come to God and expect to be thinking in your natural way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, we're talking about that, and then we're talking about how in life we have what we call, for instance, what we call destiny and purpose. Because ultimately, what we're talking about is life, the meaning of life, how to live life, you know. But then there's this context of the cross. And what we're talking about is that, or what I also said was that, you know, God gave Jesus Christ a script. Are we together? Right? Jesus' life was not creative. You know, Jesus wasn't thinking new things to do every day. You know, Jesus was doing the will of God. Are we together? Right? In fact, Jesus had a literal script. His script wasn't metaphoric. His script was literal. There were actually things written that he must do. You get my point, right? And Jesus came and he did every single thing that was on his script. And that's the template for purpose. When you talk about purpose, when you talk about destiny, that's actually the template about it. It's not a creative thing. It's not. You don't need to stress your brain. What you need to do is that you need to walk in the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So you don't need to be like, oh, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? You know, you just need to do the will of God. Because like Jesus, every of us has a script. And that's when we looked at Jeremiah, where God told Jeremiah that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Huh? And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So before Jeremiah came into existence, his life had already been concluded and decided for him. Are we together? Right? So Jeremiah was introduced into it. Jeremiah did not get inspiration on what to do with his life. Rather, his life was introduced to him. Amen. Amen. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Please follow me. Because you need to follow me because you need to understand the governance of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? You see, there's a scripture that, let me just digress a little bit to explain something. There's a scripture I read during Messiah's love. Let me look for that scripture. Hold on, let me look for a scripture. Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that is broken down and without walls. Can we share it in, I don't know, NKJV or something? he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, when we say spirit, we're talking about the soul, right? Now, the soul is likened to a city, right? That has walls over it. Are we together? Right? Or a city that has a governance structure over it. Are we together? Are you with me? That's how the soul is likened to. In other words, the soul or man is meant to be governed by something. Now, what is governance? Governance is the administration of order over a place. Are we together? All right? So, for instance, why can't I just build anything I want to build wherever I want to build it? Why can't I go and have toilets in my house? Why can't I just go and pee on the road or something like that? Now, you know people do that in Nigeria, but actually they should carry you to prison for that thing if you really have government again, right? Now, the reason why people pee on the road is because we're lawless people. Are we together? Huh? Nigeria is not worse than any other country. It's just the fact that we are lawless. You understand? All right? So, whenever you have an environment where there's lawlessness or there's a lack of governance, what you see is chaos. Huh? You won't see prosperity. That's the nature of chaos and the nature of order. If you want to prosper, you have to be ordered. If you want to be chaotic, you have to be disordered. You understand my point? All right? That's why as you become a Christian, your life will just begin to make sense just because of the order introduced into your life. Coming to church, you understand? You wake up in the morning, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. Just those things will bring order into your life. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? And so our lives are meant to be governed. We are meant to be governed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is meant to be the governor of our soul. Amen. Are you with me? What did I say? The Holy Spirit is meant to be the governor of our soul. So, anything that we want to do, when we say we are led by the Spirit, that's what we're talking about, is that we have governance over us. So we don't do anything that we want to do, but we do what the Holy Spirit permits us to do. Are you with me? All right? So it's about governance, about living under the governance of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus Christ modeled. That's what he lived by. I'll still give you a recap. That's what Jesus Christ modeled. That's what he lived by when he was on the earth. You know, he would do things because God wants him to do it. He wasn't thinking of a creative way to solve problems. It wasn't like maybe he was meant to go to Galilee. You say, no, I want to go to Egypt. You know, no, he was doing what they told him to do. Are we together? And so, the reason why we spoke about our governance is that you have to get used to being told what to do. Huh? That it doesn't make sense is not an excuse to not do it. Are we together? That something doesn't make sense is not a justification for not doing it. You get? And we gave the example of somebody that is arguing with their parents. You want to go to Uniben, your parents are saying, go to Ilori. All right? And you're arguing. You remember that example? I don't repeat it yet, right? That at points in your life, at times in your life, you will be told what to do. You'll be told what to do. Amen. So we laid that foundation, and now we'll go into what we have today. Now let us go to First Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 18. You know, what we also said was that, let me just say this so that I won't forget. What we also said was that Jesus Christ had a time limit to his script. You remember? So his script was based on a time. The concept of time is very important. Everything that God wants us to do, he has ordered it in a particular time. Amen. So you shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be so surprised when I say you're going to do outreach, because the purpose of youth, the time of youth, is meant to be spent serving God. Are we together? All right? In Ecclesiastes, it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Right? Because days will come when it will be too late. Are we together? All right? So you're not too young to be deployed. That's what I'm saying. You're actually in the best time. You understand? Amen. I think I've told you guys now that you shouldn't blame your parents. How many of you genuinely feel your parents are boring? I'm like, raise your hand. This is a safe space, no judgment. Raise your hand. You genuinely feel that your parents are boring. Who is the first person to have courage to say it? Boring is boring. What's your understanding of boring? Okay, let me ask another question. How many of you feel like it would be better if your dad was behaving like Pizak? Okay, somebody has admitted. Which other person? Anyway, all of you agree, but I just don't want to raise your hand right now. You know? And it's normal. We always feel like we're the ones that know. Even this whole concept of Gen Z, you know, it's like we're the ones reigning now. You know, you people are old, right? But you need to understand that there's nothing that is new. The way you are young, your parents too were young. And when your parents were young, they were doing the exact same things that you are doing. Again, the fashion might be different, but they were doing the exact same things, you know? So, when you see your dad, for instance, you have to understand that one day your dad too was chasing babes. You have to really understand it like that, you know? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Your mom too was dressing, you know? Just that now is Davido. Back then it was Shino Peters, you know? All right?
Thank you. So, do you like it the way I'm talking calm like this? Okay, cool. So, you need to understand that your parents too were once like you. Again, in fact, a lot of your parents were worse than you. That's why they're giving you a lot of stress, because they don't want you to make the same mistakes they made, right? Now, what changed? Have you ever thought about it? What changed? One of the things that changed is that they give birth to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? They give birth to you, and so they have to start paying school fees. Right? Now, once someone enters into the mind of paying school fees, if you're not careful, you can lose your life. You just become a shell of yourself. You understand? So, don't blame them too much, right? Now, the reason why I even went that way is because there is coming a time, if you don't use your youth well to serve God, eventually there will come a time when you will not be able to do it as much as you can. That's why one of the major lies that Satan tells people who are on the verge of giving their life to Christ is that I have time. You know, let me enjoy. Later on, I will give my life to Christ. You understand what I'm saying?
Praise God. Are we together? Right? You hear people say that now. Right? Like, let me enjoy now. Later on, I'll give my life to Christ. But you see, what if number one, it's not even true. A lot of people die. But the people that, no, for real, a lot of people die. But even the people that manage to stay alive and give their life to Christ, it's not the same person. You know? By the time you've had like 2 divorces, you're not the same person. You're like a, you understand? You'll be a traumatized person. Hallelujah. You understand? By the time you've gone through like 5 heartbreaks, you know, you'll be a shell of yourself. You understand? Right? So you don't want to be someone that wastes their youth. Do you want to waste your youth? You get right. So there's a script that God has written for everyone here at this time. You get, right? Are you happy about that? Yeah. So there's a script. And so what you need to do is that you need to find out the script. Which is, when I say find out the script, I don't mean you will start, oh Lord, what's the script? It's not a prayer point like that. It's just to, once you're part of a church, you're already living the script. Once you are a part of the church, you're already living the script. You understand? Right? There's nothing anywhere that is happening. You get, once you are working in a church, you are doing this, you are doing that, you're interacting with your Christian people, you're already living the script. You get, you're already having a robust Christian life. So the issue is that you need to make sure that you're not a fake Christian. You understand? You're not someone that is living a duplicitous life. You know, you're not like a CIA. You know, one day you are with America, next day you're with Russia. You know, you're not like that kind of person, right? Once you are firmly planted in the house of God, you are fine. Amen. Again. This is one of the major ministries, or major mysteries of life. Once you are planted in the house of God, you are fine. That's where you find your husband, that's where you find your wife, that's where you make your money, that's where everything will happen. Are we together? Yes. Right. So, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, we'll continue with this theme. We'll read to 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. I'll stop here. Now, the Bible is saying that, Paul is giving the Corinthians reasons why they should flee sexual immorality, right? Abina? And he says that there's a reason why you should not just be sleeping with anybody. It is because, let's go back there, 18. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. As per, if I lie now, you know, I did something bad, but it's not affecting me individually as per the body. You understand my point, right? If you steal something, it can affect your body, because if they catch you, they can beat you. You get, but you get my point, right? Now, what's Paul is saying is that sexual immorality is sinning against the body, meaning there are two things. There is the, even though you ask for forgiveness, there's still the damage on the body that we need to sort out. Are we together? I don't want to go into other things. But so he's saying that sexual immorality is sinning against the body, that what you actually bear the brunt of the sin is the body. Amen. And then, you know, this thing sounds like a very strange thing. Say the truth. Because if you have sex with somebody that is not your husband or your wife, you will be pleased in your body. You get my point now? You will feel good. All right? Amen. So, and you know all these things, you know, whenever people say, you know, in the other place where it says, shall we be joined with a harlot or something like that, you know, and people now bring theology of, if you sleep with prostitutes, you and the prostitutes are one. And some people now, it sounds too illogical, so people will now say, so if I sleep with five women, am I here? You understand that thing now? You know, because it sounds like a strange thing to say, you know? And that's why he then says in the next, now, that's why he then says in 19 that, or do you not know? Right? Meaning is like, this thing sounds illogical. It sounds crazy to really say it. Especially when you are doing New Testament, you know, grace, where, you know, you ask for forgiveness, you feel good, you know. So it's almost like you're not getting bad feedback. You get my point now? Because no matter what you do, blood of Jesus, you know, especially when you have believed it to an extreme level. So he's now saying something very funny, that do you not know, or do you not know, you know? It's just like now you see the son of a president or somebody, you know, is or maybe like now you see me now. You know, you see me now fighting on the road, or you see me in beer parlor. You know. Now you can imagine, you know. Right? Or you see and just like maybe your dad told those of you that your dad is not yet fully born again. And he told you to go and buy beer for him. You know. You're not going to buy the beer for him. And then when you get there, you'll just be shocked. Ah, Pastor Kenny? you know, you see me like four bottles. You know? Now, let's say, you know, now what will come to your mind is like, does this man not know that as a pastor? But you know me, am I behaving as if I don't know? I mean, obviously that I'm behaving that way means I don't know, because even if the sin wants to catch me by force, I'll make sure I hide. You get my point, right? So that they will not say, that's actually how you live when you're a leader. You have to be careful of your image. So if in that kind of situation, I have a tag, or I have a duty, I have something on my head, you know, but I'm behaving as if I've forgotten, you know. So someone can meet me now and say, do you not know that you are a pastor? A pastor should not be arguing like this in public. A pastor should not be doing this in public, you know. A Christian lady should not be dressing like this. You know, it's like you can see a lady and be like, are you not aware that you have a respectable family that are coming from? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what Paul is saying here, that do you not know that your body, two things, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Now, all of us will agree with this one. Abina, because it makes sense, because I have the Holy Spirit in me, right? And that says another thing, and you are not your own, right? So all of us agree with the first one, but not all of us agree with the second one. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? But Paul is saying it like it should be obvious to you that the same way you have the Holy Spirit, and the same way you are a house for the Holy Spirit, what it also means is that you have no longer ownership over yourself. Praise God. Huh? So do you not know that you are not your own? Again. Verse 20. Why? You are bought at a price. Hallelujah. How many of you, say the truth, when you got born again, how many of you felt that they paid money on your head? How many of you really felt that, you know, that they paid money on your head? You didn't feel that way now. You didn't know now. You get, you know, you didn't know. And that's why you have fake Christian, because, you know, I spoke a little bit about it during, and that's why when you preach to, Jesus, when you are preaching to people, always mention the fact that people need to repent from sin, please. It's very important that people know that they need to repent from sin. Huh? It's better if you have one person comes out to give your life to Christ, or even if nobody, you know, people can say they don't want, and there's nothing. Even Paul said, Paul went to some place, they chased him away. You get, it's better if very few people come out than if you make it a carnival and you have 500 people come out. Are we together? If you make it a carnival and 500 people come out, most likely all those 500 people did not become saved. Are we together? All right. There's a hard posture that needs to happen. Many people would disagree with this, but it's just, you know, it's because lack of Holy Spirit's understanding. There's a hard posture you need to have to receive the Spirit. And you receive the Spirit at various levels of intensity. That's why some people become born again, immediately they stop smoking. You know, some people become born again and they don't know that they should stop smoking. And it's because of how the heart, it's because of the kind of gospel that was preached to the person. You get. So you are bought at a price, right? And I was saying that when you got born again, you didn't feel like, nobody felt like they paid something on my head. I mean, it felt good, it felt joyous. But you didn't know that the matter is a serious matter. Right? They need to teach you that actually this thing is a serious thing, no? I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. So you are bought at a price. So they've paid for you. You understand? All right? They've paid for you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Huh? So what that payment means is that we must glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit, because they belong to God. Are we together? So all of us have belong to God now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. From verse 14. So please mention, don't be scared. Mention it, you know, mention the things that God saved you from. Please, I'm begging you. Are we together? Mention the things that God saved you. If God saved you from masturbation, mention it. God saved me from masturbation. He can save you too. That's how to preach to people. Don't look at that people are dressing fine. Don't look at it. You understand? Huh? Amen. All right. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judged us, that if one died for all, then all died. 15. And he died for all. Who died for all? Jesus, Abby.
Yes.
That those who live should live no longer for themselves. but for him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. So the love of Christ compels us. Huh? What does it compel us to do? Or why is it compelling us? Huh? When a man says, I love Jesus, what is that compulsion? You know, love is compulsion. You know, you can't say you love somebody and you're not doing good things for them, for instance. That's fake love. And the love of Christ compels us. You know? That love of Christ, which is signified by his death, huh? It means something. You get? And if that love is in me, it means something to me too. Praise God. Now, what does it mean in verse 15? Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So what that love of Christ means, if it's in your heart, what it means is that if it's in your heart, which is in your heart really, just that you need to pay attention to it. Because whenever you preach, whenever you teach this kind of things, people are always happy. Do you get me? There's a happiness, because that's really who you are. And what the love of Christ means in our hearts is that it compels us to live for him. Huh? That's why you feel happy when you obey the Spirit. Have you noticed? Huh? Notice now. When you obey the Holy Spirit, you feel happy. You get, right? Is that love of Christ that's in you? Huh? What it does is that it compels you to drop your life for him, for Jesus. So in other words, God is not wicked when he demands something from you. Are we together? Are we together? Huh? God is not being unreasonable when he demands something from you. God is not being unreasonable if because of this gospel, your back is paining you. Are we together? Yes, sir. Because it's not your opinion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? You can't say, oh, my back is paining me. I won't teach. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? You can't say, that's why, you know what I said, that God finds us offensive. That's why God cannot come and say, I want you to write a book for me. You say, oh, God, I don't have Bible. I don't have Bible. That's not, you get my point? You can't give excuses to God. The same way your phone cannot give you an excuse. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? You are purchased property. You have barcode. As you are like this, now maybe on your head, you have barcode. You know? They've tagged you, they know you. You understand? Huh? A phone that is giving you an excuse, eventually you throw it away. Yeah. You understand? That's the dynamic of how we are relating with God. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So if your intention now is that I'm going to use this phone to call my family, you know, I'm going to use this phone to transfer money. But every time you want to transfer money, the phone will say, no, I want to send text. You know? You type OP, first bank will open up, you know, that kind of thing, right? Now, if that keeps happening, what you do is you say that this OS is faulty. You get, right? And eventually you would change the phone. So that is the dynamic of our, and I like, you know, it's good. If I was preaching this thing to adults, I'll be struggling. I'll be shouting stuff because, you know, it's adults, it's like rock. You have to use force to be hitting your thing. As long as I can just be saying it simple and I'm perceiving that it's entering your heart. So, we no longer live for ourselves. So the dynamic of our relationship with God is that of ownership. You get his ownership. God owns us. Hallelujah. You get God owns us. Amen. So you need to understand this thing, though. You need to understand this thing. I mean, praying every day. You know, like I said, you know, this thing, don't just keep it in your head. Pray. You know, say, God, own me. Use me. Huh? That's the perfect prayer to pray. Use me. You can't go wrong. If that's the only thing you pray, God, use me. You'll be fine. Are we together? Yeah. Use me, use me, use me, use me, use me. Use me. And this usage is deep, oh. It's deep, oh. This use meeting. Eh? It's deep, oh. God can turn you to a crazy person. You get? And you don't need to shout. You understand? It's not a thing of shouting. But if you're there, you're there. And it's not an age thing. You get? In fact, God uses more of young people than old people. Because like I said, old people are like rock. You can't really do much. You get? Moses is a rarity. Do you understand? I mean, for God to use a man at that age is rare. It's not usually the way it is. You know, Moses was very old when God, you know, and God had to really do a lot to make him humble. So, you need to go to God because it's deep. I tell you the truth, it is deep. I don't say something, so it don't be like I'm boasting or anything, but I tell you the truth, it is deep. And the deep is not that it's deep for you, it's just that it's deep to people that are not there. You get? But it's a simple thing. Because most men don't understand this thing. Most men live for themselves. And so simple decisions are tough. You get? Huh? So it's deep for... To some people now, coming to church like this is simple. To some people that are coming to church every time is blowing their mind. You get? So it's not deep for you, but it's deep for them. You understand? Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Yes, sir. You know, I don't know. I don't want to say this thing. You know, I don't want to talk. But I tell you the truth, and I'm saying this not to boast. I'm just trying to explain something to you. That as I am like this right now, from here now, it most likely will happen because I have a family. But from here now, like as I am like this now, I can enter bus and go to Kano. You won't see me again. Like straight from here, I'll go to Moto Park. Like this. No bag, nothing. You know what I'm saying? Right? Most likely it won't happen because I'll be called an irresponsible husband and father. You know? So my point is that that's how I'm thinking. You get, right? And it's just understanding this thing. You get? The secret to go and serve God in village is that God loves you. That's all you need to understand. Are you with me? So if God loves you, God will not do anything that is not good for you. You get? So, in Ephesians 2, verse 10, so we are for Jesus, right? We've established that. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship. Hallelujah. Huh? Another word you can use for this thing is that we are his profession or we are his masterpiece. But I'm trying to talk about it in the context of work. You know, Jesus Christ was a carpenter, right? So Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus Christ, we should be inspiring to every one of us here, you know. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? It should inspire us. You know, Jesus Christ, at 12, he wanted to do ministry. Amen. You know now, at 12, he was in the temple. He was ready. At that time, he was ready thinking that, you know, his plan actually was that he won't go home. That was his plan. He didn't tell them. But his plan was that from that place, he would turn to Rabbi. You guess, you know. But, you know, his parents scolded him and everything. And then he was 12, Abby. So for 18 years, he went out doing carpentry work, you know, because from there to 13, till 30, that's when he then did ministry. Huh? So Jesus did carpentry work for 18 years. Are we together? So I don't see why you can't study what your parents want you to study for 4 years. It's not a big deal. You understand? Huh? Amen.
Amen.
You don't like that one?
You
like it, right? So I'm telling you the truth, though, because, you know, I know your flesh. A lot of you, what you want me to say is the will of God, you know. But you see, the way life is, you at times you will do what other people want you to do, and it's part of God's will. It's part of God's will. I remember when Ife was struggling with her dad, you know, I think she said she wanted to go to one school, maybe EXO, was it EXO? I don't know, you know. But her dad was saying, go to UniBed. The moment she told me that her dad said she should go to UniBed, as she just said that thing, the Holy Spirit just told me it's actually UniBed she's going to. But I didn't say anything. I said, hey, listen to your dad. I think you should listen to your dad. I think you should, you know. So God moves. That you think your parents are not spiritual, it doesn't mean God cannot use them. You get? It's just a simple thing. You just talk to your pastor about it. We'll sort it out and you'll be fine. So that's very inspiring, right? But it says, why is workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you see that script matter, right? Meaning that the good works that God wants you to do, they've already prepared it beforehand. They've set it in everybody's file. You will do this, you will do this, and you will do this, right? And it says good works. You know, this phrase, good works, is a very simple but powerful phrase. It's the same thing as that was said about Jesus. He went about doing good. Are we together? Right? It's not an aimless thing, though. It's not like he was just aimless. You know? Mama Nkechi, okay, take. Okay, do, you know. It wasn't somebody that didn't have direction of life. He knew what he was doing. But it's just a simple phrase of doing the will of God. As per God has ordained you for works, and those works are good. Do you get? It's that simple. Don't look for deeper revelation. In the eye of God, this is good. Amen. So, Jesus, or rather, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Hallelujah. So the expectation is that this thing we are building, this thing we are creating, this thing we are fighting over, this thing we are molding, the purpose is good works. Hallelujah. The purpose is not enjoyment. Amen. There's no point of giving you grace that is not leading to good works. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? The purpose is good works. We want to see works. We want to see in the world, what they call it is doings, Abby. We want to see your doings. You get? You understand what I mean? Right? What are you doing with your life? Okay, we want to see good works. Now, it's not a big deal for us. I tell you the truth, it's not a big deal for us. But it's a big deal to God. Very big. It's so big that God can send somebody to do only one thing in life. And he will reward that person more than someone that he told to do five things but did one. You know the parable of the talents? They all got the same reward. In fact, there's another parable that the ones that sweat at the beginning, they got the same reward as the ones that came 98 minutes. Yes. That's why in life, if you play this AFCON that passed now, if we won the AFCON, or we won silver, they gave Ahmed Musa silver this thing. So he didn't play one game. Did he play? He was just on bench. He was just in the team now. But they gave him medal too. They didn't say, oh, you didn't play. Go and sit down. No. They gave everybody medal. You get? Right? That's our God. So God is not, so it means a lot to him. You get my point? It might not mean a lot to you. It might not mean a lot to me. But it means a lot to God. There's no small good works. That's what I'm trying to say. Wow. There's no bigger or there's, you know, I want to say gooder. You know, there's no gooder works. You get? Are we together?
Sir.
You need to believe this thing, though, because, you know, don't wait till you're 35 to start packing crown. You can pack crown from 15. You understand? It's counting. There's no... In fact, and that's what I was saying, that it's time-based. So your aim in life is to do your own quickly and go. Yeah. The more you stay, the more risk. You understand? Because, you know, if assuming now, you know, Jesus Christ living to 60 is a bad thing. You get it? Right? Amen. Let's go to Hebrews 13. What are the announcements that we have today? Huh? And you can send it to me. Was there any major announcements? Is there anything major? Nothing major, Abby. Okay, Bible reading. Okay. Let me know now so that I'll announce. So that what I want to do is that I just want to teach you one. I'll just cut it. We'll just say grace and go. When is that? 23rd of March. Okay. So we have quarterly prayer meeting 23rd of March. Then Bible reading, I'll announce that, then we'll just close. Hebrews 13, Abby. Verse 16. But do not forget, let's read verse 6. I don't want to do too much here. But do not forget to do good and to share. You know, when I saw this thing, I was like, all this sharing thing we're teaching our children is actually spiritual. Because, you know, at times I feel like but do not forget to do good and to share. Alright? For we shall sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Right, God is well pleased, right? When you do good and you share. You know, one of these is I'll teach us about fellowship. Hallelujah. All right, I'll teach us about fellowship. One of these is. So we'll come back to this then. But fellowship is very powerful. Fellowship is one of the ways that is like a multiplier or an amplifier. But anyway, that's another issue. So we should not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So the point is, you see, our lives, it's about giving God pleasure. And that's why you know, I said that there's no small good works. There's also no small obedience. Are we together? Now, most of the time, the Holy Spirit comes to try and regulate your life by asking you to adjust on trivial things. Are we together? Things that you think are trivial. Because the Holy Spirit, for instance, that's the first stage of training, is to adjust on things that you take as trivial. You get? The Holy Spirit can come and tell you that you should not, when you are eating, that you should not take two meats, but one. Do you guys understand? Have you ever had that kind of... Talk now. Something like that. Something in that. Something as trivial as that. Okay. Yeah. So, the first level of interaction or training... It's actually training, but to you it seems like just Holy Spirit is my friend. But the first level of that training is on things that are similar, things that don't have... To you, genuinely, it doesn't have major... impact. You know, what's the difference? You know, what's the difference? You know, maybe you're walking on the road and there are two ways to your house, but you just feel a leading that you should go one way that you don't like going. And you're like, what's this thing? You know? And sometimes you will go, you will see somebody, you're like, okay, this. Sometimes you will go, you won't see anybody. You know? You understand what I'm saying now? All right. Now, part of the reason why is that with God, nothing is trivial. Are we together? All right. On a personality level, nothing is trivial. In fact, the way they know you are serious is the level of seriousness at which you take trivial things. Hallelujah. So, if you only wait for big things, you have a bad heart. What is the bad heart that you have? Eye service. Are we together? Is eye service, meaning you only do things when it is seemingly big. You get? Are we together? Huh? Let me use myself as an example. If you know, as in, at times, I'm like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Huh? Some of these people now, some of your teammates now, I've done drive fast. You know, I've put them on drive fast. Just one day, you know. Eventually, we'll do 3 days. You know, sometime this year. You know. Many people will be like, why are you doing, this is Teens Church. What is this wahala? Yet. Are we together? How many of you have done drive fast before? You've done drive fast. Oh wow. That's why, which one is like this? It was what? I don't know. You know? Some of you here, you fast more than your adults. You fast more than adults have ever fasted. You know, most Christians, I mean, how can people of 16 and 12 do 21 days? You know? That's what adults are doing and they are, you know, they are running away, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
now, I have to take it that way because if I look at it and say that, oh, this is just young people, let's just have fun, let's teach them, let's do one or two things, you know? Let's do one or two word of knowledge, you know? It will look like
There's power.
You know? If I do it that way, what? And then it's only now when maybe I'm waiting. You know? But I'm waiting till maybe when I have like bigger position, then now I'll take it serious, you know. That's eye service. Hallelujah. Right? Anything you are doing, you go hard. If you're not going hard, don't bother doing anything. Are we together? If you're not going to give 100% or 150%, don't do it. Because you won't do it well. You get? Right? So, no matter the little thing that you are doing, you have to go hard.
Yes,
amen. Huh? What did I say? You have to go hard. You understand? Why? There is no small obedience. There is no small efforts. In God's eye, you get. There is no small obedience. There is no small efforts. There is no small works as per good works. You get. And that's why God will respect you when you take him seriously on small things. Amen. I don't know if I should announce something I wanted to announce, but don't worry, we're getting there. So you go hard, Abby?
Yes, sir.
Richard, I want to go hard. Okay. If we go hard, though, we shall go hard. Amen. Especially of you that are beginning to have the early stages of anointing, it's best that you understand quickly how to grow your personal anointing. Yes. Are we together? Some of you are not there yet, but some of you are beginning to be there. It's best that you understand how to grow your personal anointing. You get. Let me. There's something I want to say, but I'm holding myself. I don't want people to be scared. All right. So, we see that we are meant to live a life that is not our, or rather, we're meant to live a life that we don't own. We're also meant to live a life that is full of good works. All right? So, the question is, how do we live this kind of life? What is the way, how best can I do it? You get, because it's not easy. If it were to be easy, everybody would be doing it. Are we together? Even every Christian, it's not every Christian that lives life like this. Praise God. You know, Jesus Christ said, this way is narrow. You know, so they've already told you that this way is not a, it's not a way of crowd. You understand? Right? And that's why you are blessed if you can, let me just say it. To those of you that have liver, at some point in time this year, right, we shall be fasting for 50 days. Yeah. Of course, all my leaders are joining, right? The leaders are not talking.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, all my leaders are joining, right? We'll be fasting for 50 days. The reason is because I typically didn't want to do it. I wanted to do it on a personal level, but on Wednesday I learned that it wasn't good. It's good to do things in community. So, I don't want to be the great man of God that came down from the mountain. You understand? I want it to be a community thing. So, don't worry, I'll give you details. I'll give you. If you don't want to do 50, if you can do 7 days dry, you won't do 50. So you choose. If you choose, if you choose the one that you want. So in John, in John 14, from verse 1. Can we get the offerings, the offering basket, just stations? If people have offerings, they can give. In John 14, from verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, so before I continue reading, so Jesus Christ told them that. Now the reason why he said mansion is not real mansion, you know, because you see, you have to understand that these are spiritual communications. What do I mean? For instance, God does not have mansions. Amen. Huh? As per the way you are understanding it. You get my point? He's trying to communicate something, but he's talking to human beings that are dark. As per this point in time, they didn't yet have the Holy Spirit. So he's communicating a spiritual thing using the physical examples that they can understand. Do we understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So that is why it's not wrong to imagine it per se, but let me just teach you. That is why we're not going to heaven to drink ice cream. Ice cream does not exist in heaven. You're not happy. You're sad, Abby. Yeah. Now, is it? It's because in that place you are living like a spirit. Have you ever seen an angel come to you and say, "Abby, give me ice cream"? Yes. The context of the body, your tongue, you don't have a tongue, so you can't crave. You get my point, right? Same thing with this mansion. God told us that he doesn't. He's looking for a home. Abby, now. So God's idea of luxury is to dwell in men. Are we together? The nature of a spirit, when you say spirit, the point of a spirit is that a spirit finds enjoyment by possessing a vessel. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
right? So there's enjoyment. When we say there's enjoyment in the spirit, that's, we are talking about the impact of the possession of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can generate joy in you that is not based on anything physical happening. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right. So, it's not like, you know, we're going to heaven now that, oh, and it's not necessarily, you know, I mean, it's not like, you don't need to go outside and start giving people, but it's not like, oh, you know, I'm suffering on earth, when I go to heaven, I'll enjoy it. That's not really the concept. Are we together?
Yes.
Amen. You get. So, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I won't talk so much about it, but what he's actually talking about, he's talking about different states of reality in God. You see, the nature of God's world is that when men enter into the world, it's like a buffet. You choose the one you want. Are we together? So, not all men have the same type of fellowship with God. What I mean is that thing that you are saying that Jesus is sweetening you, It's not happening to all men at the same level. Are we together? So in 1 John, John will say that we have a certain kind of fellowship with God. This is the whole point of spiritual leadership, what John said. We have a certain kind of fellowship with God, and we want you guys to come and enjoy what we are enjoying. Do you understand? Am I losing you? So, he's saying that I'm going to prepare a place for you. By the way, that's not the point. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's go on. Verse 4. What's the challenge? And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? So now, in all these things that we've said, and we've spoken about how to please God, how to live a life that is meaningful before God, right? The point that Jesus was making here is that I have a kind of fellowship with God. He's prepared, everything is for you. But for you to get to that place, you have to go through me. Now, it's simple. Two of you should come. Come. When he says I'm the way, you have to go through me. It's not like, stay here. Stay here. Come. And it's not like you have to try and squeeze through their middle. Don't allow him. No, you can go. Now, it's not like, thank you. It's not like, when you say you need to go through me, it's not like I'm there. Again, it's not a literal thing. What you're just simply saying is that you have to do it the way me I did it. Do you understand? Right? So me, I actually did not just come so that you will enjoy. I actually came to show you a pattern. Are we together? That's why Jesus Christ will say, you have to carry your cross and follow me. Do you understand? Because my existence is not just to do good things for you. It's actually to show you a way to do things. So if you study my life, if you study the pattern of my life, and you do the exact same things that you saw me do, you too, you will get there. Are we together? So lastly, just one more thing to close. In Luke 14, verse 25, so when we say we are followers of Jesus, you need to understand it. And that's why you need to understand that we are not, you see, the word believer doesn't really capture the essence of what we are doing. It captures it to a large extent, but it's not the full extent of what we are doing. Actually, what we are doing in church, or what we are doing as Christians, is that we are disciples. Are we together? Right. Now, believer captures it, but human beings are very tricky. Because what the human being will just say is that, okay, I believe in you, but me, I'm here, you are here, but I believe in you, right? But when you use the word disciple, you are very specific, because a disciple is a specific thing. And so Jesus Christ will talk to people, and he will use the word, be my disciple. Do you understand? Yeah. So believing in me is the beginning. Is what you will do as my disciple, but that's not where it ends. There are other things to do. Now, a great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. So, plenty of people are following Jesus. Huh? Abina? Plenty of people were following Jesus. And he turned and said to them, this following they are following me is fake. Are we together? Are we together? Let me start giving you the requirements. And this is how Christianity is. Huh? But you see, why did they start following Jesus? Healings, miracle, feeding, all those kind of thing, right? But you see, as all of us are following Jesus like this, after a point in time, he will turn and start telling you that actually this journey, for it to continue, it has to upgrade. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So in a nutshell, that's what it means to become a disciple. Next week, we'll continue. But in a nutshell, everything we have said is because of this, right? That we follow him to a point where to move forward, the parameters need to change. You get? Now, at this point in time, we'll start giving you requirements. But it's for your good, though. But it's just that at this point in time, it can't be because of what you will physically gain anymore. Amen. Amen. I know God is very, very good at this thing. He's very, it's very tricky. It's like he will give you a taste. You know, a lot of it, your dreams. That's the taste he's giving you. You know, you dream, you see yourself being a great person. You know? You understand what I'm saying now? You now wake up, Kai, I have a great destiny. Yeah. You know? He's enticing you. He's enticing you. Then as you come, you'll not tell you, okay. Oh, yeah. Actually, that destiny. You know? This is what you need to start doing. So at first, you'll be the one chasing you. Eventually, you'll be the one chasing him. You understand? That discipleship is you. And you will carry yourself. They can't force you. Okay, what I'm teaching here, when we continue teaching next week, there's no forcing anybody. You can't force anybody. It's you. Okay, but it will be an easy decision if you've tasted small anointing. Okay, if you've tasted small grace, it will be easier for you because you will understand that you need to live a higher life. Amen. 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 Praise God. All right, so next week we'll continue.